very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. This is 49ers Plus Minus show with my co-host. It's The Athletic's Matt Barrows. We both were at practice today at the 49ers headquarters, and we both raced out of Levi Stadium because we had to clear out AC/DC. You know, when AC/DC is ready to go in 2026, gonna play Levi Stadium. It's still kind of amazing to me. But we're out of there. We watched practice. Chris Forster talked. Kyle Shanahan was on the field again for well more than most of the practice. Did not address the media. That's going to be a big thing, I think. You know, not that addressing the media is the hugest thing in the world, but that he will feel up to it and he will be his old self. Certainly seems to be moving that direction. He's not running practice, but it's moving that direction. I thought today might be the day. I was taking a wild shot at it. It wasn't. Maybe later in this week, maybe next week. Barros, what was your any kind of headline you had from today's what ramp up session would you call it? Certainly not one of their most hard hitting, but definitely a ramp up session.
Yeah, for sure. This was the first practice of their 4-day segment. So it's the lightest practice of the week in terms of reps. I thought it was a good practice in terms of pace. When you have Fred Warner out there, you have Christian McCaffrey out there, you have Trent Williams out there, I think that sends a signal that, okay, if those guys are out there, then if you're able-bodied, then you have to go at a good pace. Now, having said that, there were a lot of guys that were not out there. By the end of the practice, 20 of the 90 men on the roster, 91, including Isaac Alarcon, were injured. And once you start getting into the 20s, then you start to have issues. A couple of issues. One is that you don't have the luxury of a kicker battle. We found that out last year when Jake Moody won his battle with Greg Joseph, even though he was not as good as Joseph in their little camp competition. But they just couldn't afford to have two guys not playing 11-on-11 on the roster when the numbers get so dire. And so this year they've got a punter competition. I don't know how much longer that's going to last. Then I think you have to start to worry about the joint practices as well. Remember, the 49ers canceled a joint practice with the Saints 2 years ago. It was going to be in Orange County. I forget.
Irvine.
Yeah. Ironically, before a preseason game that was going to be at Levi's Stadium. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point there were 23 guys who were injured. And so we're at 20 right now. Now, some of these guys seem ready to come back. Like three of the guys, Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bosa, and Osa Odigizuwa missed today's practice, the Wednesday practice, with soreness. So I think that, you know, by the end of the week, those guys should be fine. And then there were some other guys dribbling, for example, Malik Mustafa, who were going pretty good clip today on a side field, and they seem on the cusp of coming back to practice as well. So the numbers could improve. They could get worse, too. They've got a joint practice with the Titans so a week from today, and then a week from yesterday, and then a preseason game against them. And then they have a joint practice in LA against the Chargers the following week. That's the one that I feel like is in jeopardy because you have to go through one joint practice and a preseason game before you even get to that one in LA.
Yeah, I think some of these missed practices is kind of making sure they have enough healthy bodies for next week for the Titans joint practice. And then beyond that, I don't know. I asked Forster today, like, is it at all coming up that you might have to pull out of this? I just said next week's practice, but both of them is what the intention is. And he said, no, he hadn't heard any. Of course, he's not making this decision. This would be a good time to have Kyle Shanahan at the podium. I understand that he's not 100% ready to do it, but like he's going to make that decision. He and John Lynch are going to make that decision. They're getting close. Like Sam Okwuonu looked really good, I thought, in practice today. Looked explosive. And then there he is getting his leg looked at. It didn't look serious, but he's didn't practice anymore after about, what, 60% of the practice, 65% of the practice. And then Nick Zakel is walking off with the trainer. Again, didn't look like a serious injury. I don't know what it was, but another guy who was out of practice. And as first said, like they had to do some adjustments with the rotations when you have Nick Zakel, you know, and Förster is the offensive line coach. So some stuff that he wanted to do, he couldn't do because you didn't have that piece in there with the twos and the threes. He said, if you got a two deep, you can do a practice, like a joint practice. I believe him. I trust, but like, you know, your guys are gonna get hurt in that practice too. I keep saying
that.
Like,
and in the game too.
And in the game, you don't want to be getting to the second week of the preseason and you're like, we don't have anybody here that we can play in the third quarter. So I think you're right that the one in LA is the one that I would really think that they probably are very close to thinking, you know, to saying maybe we don't do that one. Maybe do the Tuesday one next week with the Titans. It is at home. You're not moving a bunch of things down there. But we shall see. It's not serious injuries other than the Ricky Pearsall one. You can see a line of every single one of them. Maybe, you know, Kittle's not going to be on the practice field anytime soon. Maybe Mykal Williams isn't going to be on the practice field. But those are existing injuries. We're just talking about the injuries that have come up in camp. I know the controversies and all the other things that people are supposing. It's just normal camp stuff. It's just a lot of them. But like Mike Evans was looked pretty good. He was running on the sideline. Almost ran over Josh Dubow in fun as he was jogging down the sideline. Like I don't think he's anybody that they're too worried about. There's several others. You know, you would, if you're them, you would really want to see Jordan James out there. You'd want to see Kalen Black, two running backs. They're not out there, but I don't think any of this is supremely worrying. Just to get through it, though, I think that's what we're talking about. Just to get through a couple of big joint practices, I don't know that they're quite healthy enough. Just given a couple more practices, they could lose two more guys, and you're talking about 26 guys, whatever, 24 guys. Just the numbers are tough, and yeah, you're right. I don't know that the punting thing is you can keep that going. And I was talking to you before, like, so who wins it then? If they just decide it's over, who's the punter? We don't even know that one. Last year with a kicker, Kyle Shanahan was just going to go, okay, it's my guy Jake Moody. Well, oops, that didn't last too long, but that's what he just said. I don't even want to battle. It's Jake Moody. I don't know who he would say with the punting situation right now, but let's not take too much time talking about punters though.
All right, I'll do a quick punting synopsis. Corliss Waitman has punted in the NFL. He was the Steelers punter the last 2 years. So I would assume that he wins it because he's a known commodity. But if they're confident that he would still be available at the end of the preseason, conceivably they could stick with the rookie just to give him a lot of work and get a better read on him over the next few weeks and then make a more educated decision at the end. I don't know if they'll take the risk of doing that.
The clicks that'll come when people know we're talking about
one of them is Australian. So
Bmeister was under. Bmeister, what's his name? Bomeister,
yeah.
Bomeister, got it wrong both times.
From Bendigo, I talked to him the other day. I needed to get a sit down with him just in case, because you know he's from Australia and can speak to how Australians view the NFL. Mm. So it was valuable in that regard. I would say that the most serious injuries right now to guys who are healthy when training camp began are the Darian Lowe has the high ankle sprain. I think that was their very first injury. And then I'm not really sure about this rib injury to Jordan James. He was out there kind of doing some running around. He seemed to be moving okay. I think that's just, you know, you don't want Trent Williams. You don't want Fred Warner to take another whack at the football when you've got a still repairing rib there. So he might be out a little while longer. But the rest of the guys, they should be short-term injuries. I did like Chris Förster's response to your question. Tim asks, you know, with all these injuries, Chris, are your joint practices in jeopardy? And the first words out of his mouth were, it seems like we're very healthy.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay.
And then he says, I mean, we have injuries. But his point was that there were a lot of, lighter injuries, maybe injuries that wouldn't if this were the regular season, wouldn't keep a guy out of a game. Maybe out of a Wednesday practice, perhaps, but not out of the game.
Yeah, I think the Christian Kirk one now is beginning to move into, like, he's just not practiced since the very beginning, the first practice. And, like it's, I guess you can save a spot maybe for him, but I just put DeMarcus Robinson in there ahead of him. I just would. Like, that's just, he's done some things for the team. I was chatting with Purdy a little bit a couple of days ago, and this wasn't on the podcast, but, like, yeah, like he was saying, like, he's made plays for us. Like, I know he's made plays for us. Now Brock's going to say positive things about all his teammates, but, like, I think there was a point to that. And I've considered them like either or, and, you know, whatever you would hope for and plan for Christian Kirk. If you can't practice, I don't know what you can count on him to do. And with Stribling out, I don't know how much longer that's going to be. Again, like you said, he looked fine doing some sprinting even on the side fields. With Mike Evans not practicing the last few times, whole lot of Jordan Watkins out there, Barros, and some good, some bad, but again, he looks better than he did last season, last year in camp when I thought he looked pretty good. Still looks like, yeah, you know what? He's going to be a borderline NFL rotation receiver if he is. But what did you see from him today? Clearly the ball was going his way a lot today. It kind of had to. Who else was it going to be?
Yeah, he had a big day. I mean, he's been targeted a lot in all these practices. And it was a typical day for him where he gets a lot of targets. He makes some catches and he lets some go through his hands. And there was a deep ball that, you know, sort of held up, but he had a shot at bringing it in. He's got to do that because they're taking shots. Mm-hmm. He's got good speed. I think it's deceptive speed. So he's getting on top of the defense quite a bit and they're throwing the ball to him. He's just not always bringing it down. Having said that, he did catch a deep ball from Brock Purdy at the very end of practice, the one in the sort of the side of the end zone there on the left side. There was another one that I thought, and I'm being very kind of nitpicky, there was a pass breakup by D'Amador Lenore on a crossing route where Lenore had to sort of come through the receiver to get to the ball. I think that if Watkins kind of catches with his hands more, mm-hmm. Not letting the ball get into his body, then some of these incompletions become completions. And that's when you really build trust with the receiver. So that's my Matt Barros coaching tip.
Receiving coach Matt Barros.
For a quarter of a century now. But I feel like that's sort of been, you know, the one missing element with him because he is getting open and he does do things with the ball in his hands. He's just not catching the ball cleanly all the time.
Anything else you want to highlight, Lola? Again, I thought Okawana looked pretty good before whatever happened to him, minor or not. I thought Romello Height looked pretty good. They definitely are getting him out there. Oh, your guy Jaden Duggar was out there a lot. No Drake Greenlaw, so that mixed up the linebacking crew a little bit. Looked like Nick Martin, I mean, he is getting a lot of looks with the first team. Looked like he might have been sliding over to Week, and then Duggar was playing some Sam. I'm not sure exactly how that looked a little bit like that, but Duggar looks the part. Like, you look at him and go, man, that guy looks like an NFL player. We'll see how it goes when your, you know, offenses are scheming up and whatever, but definitely noticed him out there.
Yeah, he had a pick today, a pick six, really. And he was the beneficiary of yet another Jack Jones tip pass. Jack Jones gets his hand on at least one pass per practice. And today, Wednesday, it was two, including one that was tipped into the air. And Duggar came down with it and went in for a pick six. Yeah, Duggar was playing with the DNs on Monday. You know, they were so low on DNs that they had him come over and do some pass rush drills because he does have the body type for it. I thought I saw it was a bit weird because no Trey Greenlaw today, and you think, oh, okay, that means that Nick Martin's going to come in at weak side. I thought it was Garrett Wallow at weak side, and then they kept Martin on strong side. So he was the third linebacker in. He also might be a little bit nicked up, and they were kind of concerned about his rep count. That might have been it. So I'm not exactly sure. I will say that Garrett Wallow, remember he came in late last year and he was just a whirling dervish. I mean, he jumped out on special teams and then when they had that playoff game in Philadelphia. He and Kendrick look really good together. So he's impressed. He's got energy. I think he knows what he's doing. He's learning multiple roles in that linebacker core. I would expect him to make this team because of all that versatility. You mentioned DeMarcus Robinson earlier. DeMarcus Robinson and Junior Bergen last year were the only wide receivers to take part in every practice. And DeMarcus Robinson looked like he was going to be off to a huge year. But then he had to serve that suspension to begin the year, and he just never kind of caught fire until that Philadelphia game in January. So I don't know if it's going to be different this year because, you know, there's no suspension thrown in the middle of that. But, you know, the guys that are able to practice every day, those are the guys who are usually good during the season. And that's been DeMarcus Robinson. He's been Mr. Consistent. Watkins, even Bergen, makes a lot of gritty catches, kind of take the ball off the grass type of catches in tight spaces. So, you know, it's all these injuries are opening up opportunities for other guys, and those are three guys that have been taking advantage.
I'm saying it right now, it's early, but DeMarcus Robinson's ahead of Christian Kirk. I just feel like you're just seeing it on the field. They need to know. Unless he gets an injury himself, which obviously could happen, I just think you got to be more confident in what he could do when whatever rhythm he has with Brock Purdy, whatever rhythm he has with the entire offense. It's just like, I just think he's someone, okay, he's not getting 150 yards in a game, but he might get you pop you one for 30 and get you three catches for, you know, 75 or something like that. And at this point, you just need someone you could fill that out. You know, we can count on this guy to do some things, make some plays for us. Certainly not a little guy. I mean, there's some physicality to him. I thought Purdy looked very good today. He looks good most days. Looked really sharp. I thought, you know, we've heard about the install is over. You start the camp on offense just running plays. Like, you are going to get these plays into the scheme. It doesn't matter what the defense is doing. And often with Fred Warner, as they often say, he knows what's coming. Or at least have a very good idea. So he just screws up the play anyway. But you're not looking exactly for success. You're just trying to get the play down. Everyone know where they're supposed to go. Now they're kind of done with that. And I think there's a little bit, particularly in the move the ball, 11-on-11, that's when they actually literally reset the ball, not exactly where the play ended, but right about where they try to go 2nd and 10, 3rd and 3. Like, they do the situational stuff. It looked like there was a little game planning, a little like, okay, we're going to go. Think you're going to go this way. We're going to bend it back out. And I think Purdy, a big one to Luke Farrell over deep middle.
Yep.
Talked about the Watkins play. There were some others. Like, guys were running open. And I think two things about that. One, yeah, Clay Kubiak kind of maybe wanted to see some things. Wanted to set, like, make sure that they knew they could react to defenses. And two, this new defense we're hearing about, which is all positive things. You know, I was there, Jair Brown, just saying, I've never had more fun. They're letting actually play out there as secondary players. And I think that's very important. Raheem Morris definitely has connections to secondary players. This is a defense that we've said a lot is like defensive line linebackers. That's what it's been. And the secondary players are kind of like afterthoughts, and maybe they feel focused to that. But also, we're playing free. We're just kind of going out there and playing football. Well, one reason that an offense might be good with that is if you are thinking the play is going to be one thing, you get aggressive and you jump it and they go the other way. And I think maybe we saw a little bit of that today after I wasn't there for the practice a couple times ago where you guys all noted it was just the defense dominating the offense, their offense just not looking good. This might have been a little like, okay, Fred Warner knows exactly where this play is going to go. Wait a minute, we're going to go and run another thing. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but you could kind of get a little feel for that. And Brock Purdy and Clay Kubiak and some of the receivers, it felt like we're running that, you know, running a little more scheme against what we're seeing. And as they keep saying is, you know, they're being able to practice against this different kind of defense, which is the more so what the defenses they're going to face early on. The Rams for sure run this kind of defense. And in the past, all they did is run against their own thing, which is the Seattle 4-man line. All these things that we've heard over the last few days. I think maybe we saw a little 49er offensive counter to it. And I thought Purdy just looked like he was taking two steps, boom, and there was somebody open 15 yards down the field and had not really seen that in camp that much. And I think we saw some of that today.
Yeah, the move the ball period was good for the offense. Both Purdy's drive and Mac Jones' drive were multi play drives. What we don't always know is what, you know, these guys are working on that particular day, and it could be something very specific. And you know, that's why it looks like it favors the defense. Also, you know, this was a defensive line that was playing without Osa Digizua and without
Alfred Collins. I guess Collins was out there. My bad.
Collins was out. I don't think he was at full pace or full rep count, but. It was kind of a handicapped defense in some no Dre Greenlaw either. So I have to keep that in mind. But yeah, this was a much better day, much cleaner day for the offense. And you know, Purdy is kind of used to this. Look what he and Mac Jones had to deal with last year. I mean, that Rams game, I forget, DeMarcus Robinson was there and McCaffrey were there, but I think that everyone else, all the primary pass catchers were out for that game, and they still won it. So this is basically when you're a member of the 49ers, you deal with these situations. And I think both he and Mac Jones have learned to do that. Jones started out training camp, and you probably remember a couple of the early reports looking a little bit rusty. That rust is gone now. As we expected, he's kind of up to full speed, and he's looked quite good, which to me begs the question. I mean, how much of these guys going to play in the preseason? Is it going to be almost all Curtis Rourke and Adrian Martinez? Because that's the battle. Rourke in particular needs the work. I think that they really like him. I think his upside is higher. I think right now they would trust Martinez to go into, if this were week five and, the 49ers had injuries to Purdy and Mac Jones, they would trust Adrian Martinez right now. But Rourke, I think, is the one that they really like for the future. He just needs the reps.
Yeah, I just would just putting on my strategy classes here is I think Rourke's the one you might lose if you cut, try to sneak through and get him on the practice squad. I don't think you're losing Martinez. At least I wouldn't guess you would. So I would think Rourke, if they had it, they might just go with two quarterbacks too, right? They've done that before. But I think to protect yourself, and if you like Rourke, you keep him on the main roster. Doesn't mean he's not going to be active for games, but you keep him on the main roster so you don't lose him. And if you get Martinez on a practice squad or he's out there, or you can always bring him back. I don't think I'd be too worried about that part. I might be worried. And people start to feel like, okay, wait a minute, Shanahan likes this guy. Those are the guys that, you know, Sean McVay could pluck or whatever, you know, Clint Kubiak could grab. You know, you always got to worry about the system guys liking the same guys that Kyle Shanahan likes, and then you lose them off your roster. So I just would think Curtis Rourke would be headed that way. I get what you're saying on that, but I think Kyle Shanahan might say, if I'm down to my third quarterback, we're losing anyway, right? We got Mac Jones is here. Like that's the luxury of all luxuries, that Mac Jones is the backup.
That didn't happen in 22. They got to their third quarterback, and the team took off with that guy.
Yes, that's true. He was okay, that guy. He was okay. And it's roster spots, and we'll see how it all goes. I'm just saying I think Curtis Rourke is just a more valuable asset. I think so, too.
I mean, they spent a draft pick on him. They spent all of last year grooming him, taking him through his ACL injury. So they put a significant investment in on him, and so far it's been all good. I just think that If there's a critique, it's sort of like my critique of Jordan Watkins. The ball's coming out a little bit more slowly than you want, but you know that's what you expect. He's practically a rookie right now, so you're not going to expect a Brock Purdy level, even though Brock Purdy was probably doing it at that level when he was a rookie. But he's a little bit elite in that regard.
What do you think about my defensive take? Is like, you know, we're hearing these guys, DBs, one after other, say how much they like this new scheme, how much they like playing for Raheem Morris, how much, you know, they're set free, they're going to play loose, they can play the way they want to play. It's you know, whatever. You can take it however you want to about last year's scheme, which was the scheme they've done for years here. I don't always think that's for sure a sign that's going to be better. I'll put it that way. You know, some of that scheme was, they weren't a great statistical defense last year. I mean, we look at all the people they lost. I think Salah was just holding it together. Like, let's make sure we're not beat over the top. Let's make sure that we're not just giving up free yards. And I think it was, like, for what they had, I thought it was very solid. And I don't know that, you know, Jair Brown would have been better if he was let loose, you know, last season. I don't know if the secondary would have been better. Maybe I know I might be a little skeptical about the whole thing. What do you think about all these, this discussion about Renardo Green, Amano Lenore, that this is a defense that they feel much better with? I'm paraphrasing here. Although Jair Brown basically said that, and you know, I get it. I get the logical extent of it. Raheem Morris, a DB's guy, but I don't know that exactly what this is going to lead to. And again, it might lead to more big plays going over the top of them if they're just racing all to the one way and the offense is actually faking it and going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, pick your poison type of thing. Do you want to be conservative and not have a lot of takeaways, which was the 49ers last year? They had six interceptions and 20 sacks. I forget how many the Falcons had, the Raheem Morris-led Falcons. They had a lot of sacks. Yep. And certainly more interceptions than the 49ers. But were they markedly better defense than them? I think they were, but not certainly not dominant. So there's a price you pay for rushing five guys. There's a price you pay for letting Jack Jones be aggressive. And that's Jack Jones is sort of a microcosm of this defensive group now. He is known for getting his hands on a lot of balls. He's also known for giving up a lot of big plays. So I haven't quite seen that part of it, but that's in his background. That's the flip side. That's the other side of the coin. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, that's what I would expect. I would expect more sacks. I'd expect more interceptions, but we have to keep our eye on explosive plays and, you know, long touchdowns and scoring average and things like that, because there is a reason to be conservative with your cornerbacks, with one of your safeties, et cetera, et cetera. It's to keep those explosives at a minimum.
And if I recall, the 49ers of last season handled the Falcons pretty easily.
Yes, that was one of their best games last year. Week seven. Yeah.
It just was like they were just better. We're better than you. And, you know, maybe there's a lot, there's places where the Falcons could have exploited them. They just didn't. Bijan Robinson didn't get them. It just wasn't, Michael Penix wasn't good. And the 49ers ran, as I remember, was more physical. So I'll just say, I'm not going to rush into saying everything means these, all this gushing praise. And I get it. Players should be positive. I'm not criticizing for that. I get it. And if they feel better with it, say it. That's great. We want that. But this is a linebackers and defensive line defense. It almost every great defense is a linebackers and defensive line defense. And there probably were reasons why Robert Saleh kept things pretty fundamental. Let's just put it away in the secondary. Yeah. And I don't know that you want to see balls flying over them and going for 75-yard touchdowns. And you didn't see that last year. You saw that, you know, in the Vikings game when Steve Wilkes was defense coordinator. It was all, and it wasn't great. So we'll see. New things are good. Changes are good. I think Shanahan wants changes. I've said that over and over again. I think Saleh and D'Amico Ryans wanted to do it their way, and they were right to want to do it their way. And I'm fine with Raheem Morris doing it his way. I'll just – The rush to believe this is exactly what everything has to happen. There's some strengths and some weaknesses to that. I just want to make that point.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as the 49ers were in some key areas, pass rush, interceptions, takeaways, they allowed 21.8 points a game last year. The Falcons allowed 23.6.
Yep.
That's fairly significant. Now, some of that has to do with offense as well. I mean, if you've got a good offense and you're, you know, hogging the ball for most of the game, which the 49ers did, it's going to benefit your defense. But just because you're getting a lot of sacks and you've got, you know, 19 interceptions instead of six, doesn't mean that you're a stellar defense. There are some
I just thought the 49ers felt they could push them around, and they pushed that defense around. There's no, you know, the,
yeah,
you know, I felt that way. And, you know, we were talked a lot about the 5-man line and lighter, you know, quicker pass rushers, more options. And again, there's really good defenses that do this. I did not think the Falcons defense was very good last season. And part of it was, I thought they were too light. I thought they were just flying at you. And if you knew what the hell you're doing, you can just go run it right down them. If I just recall from that game, from other times I've watched the Falcons with the right personnel, it's great. And maybe the 49ers are getting the right personnel for this. I'm just going to be a little bit of a slowdown on this one. Tap the brakes. Let's see how this works over a season. And the 49ers old system worked for most of 9 years. I'm still going to be a little bit protective of that, that it wasn't the wrong way to go. It actually was the right way to go. Maybe without the great defensive line, though. That part I get. If you don't have the great defensive line, which they had obviously in 19 and they had mostly in 2023, and they don't have now until we'll see how these other guys figure out, maybe they're going to step into that. But if you don't have it, then you got to do it otherwise. That part I 100% get, and I understand the enthusiasm for it.
What do you think about this idea of the callus that the 49ers try to build up with really intense practices in the summer that they believe benefits them once the season begins, but also leads to 20 guys being absent on, what is it, August 5? What is your take on whether building up that callus is worth it?
I think it mostly is. It's probably no surprise. I'm an old school NFL guy. I was there for Buddy Ryan's Eagles two-a-days, which were like, some of the goal line drills were just unbelievably ferocious. Reggie White and Jerome Brown and all that. I also think that if you're going to get hurt in this situation, you're probably going to get hurt even, you know, in a rapid way in the regular season. So in some way, this weeds out the people who are going to get hurt anyway. Now, my
weeds
criticism
out, weeds out the weaklings. Wow.
I didn't say that. That's a Matt Barrows conclusion there. I don't think that being super, super protective of guys in camp is the greatest way to prepare for a season. I just don't believe that. Now, there are problems with getting guys hurt. I understand that. I get there are ways, probably you can, other ways to do this that would get you fresher. And like the Bill Walsh training camps were intense, but not physical, right? I mean, we know that they didn't hardly ever hit after that in the regular season. Understood. But they played a different kind of style too. And 49ers play a physical style. They want to get you down and they want you to feel that. And they want you to feel that the next week after and the week after that. I'm good with that. I like that style. It's a Jim Harbaugh style. And it usually makes you a tougher team much more as the season goes on. You just have built up this ability to deliver and absorb physicality. And there are consequences for it. Probably are limits for it, but this isn't like the Mike Singletary Oklahoma drill. Like they're not doing that stuff. They're just pretty passionate
about how they
they want you to get through this. They don't want lackadaisical moments. And sometimes that leads to muscle twinges or whatever. I just don't see it being that. Like these joint practices are going to be intense, right? They're going to be very intense. We've seen those. And you want to be ready to do them. You don't want guys all of a sudden going, wait a minute, I'm not ready for this. And that's how you suffer injuries. Sometimes you suffer some injuries no matter what. I'm just not a guy like, okay, everyone, let's make sure everybody's like, you know, tiptoeing around everybody. I don't think that's how you get, certainly not a team in this style. And if you're going to get hurt in these practices, I'll say it and you can jump on me again. You're going to get hurt. Like Ricky Pearsall didn't get hurt in the practice, right? He got hurt in games. That happens. Guys get hurt. And I don't love this. Oh, then it must be this one reason. And this must be this one thing that I've thought of. Football's a game where people get hurt. And the best teams are usually the ones who don't have the most serious injuries and have got themselves to a level. You can't avoid all injuries. Of course, there's always going to be injuries. It's going to happen in waves, as it often does with the 49ers. But I just don't believe that, okay, if we just – you know, play patty cake on Wednesday and Thursday, everything will be fine on Sunday. I just don't believe that. Or throughout entire training camp, I believe that these guys have to feel it and have to get ready for it, and then they can deliver it. And there are, again, there are problems with that, but there's problems with everything in football. There's always going to be injuries. Like, hey, if you just don't want to play preseason games, you just like, and teams are getting away from playing most of their guys in preseason. I get it. But I just think there's a real gain from having a physical sense and having a sense of speed and pace and being more aggressive than the people across the line from you. And I have very little problem with them doing it now.
Buddy Ryan Kawakami over
yep.
here.
Well, I mean, that's always Mike covered.
Right.
I went from that to the Rams, and there was a really good Rams team the year before. And I'm like, what is this? This is a country club? And, you know, they were terrible every season I covered them. I do believe in energy and feeling like you're the aggressor. I do believe that. Again, there are limits. There are things that you shouldn't do. Oklahoma drill being, you know, exactly that. We saw the Oklahoma drill under Mike Singletary, and I don't know that really gained anything. It got a lot of people hurt. But this level, I got no issue with it. And you want them to practice soft and have no one get hurt, and then that's how they're going to play in the regular season. That's how I would feel.
Mike Singletary, and I hate to bring this up, called that drill. He wanted to put his own mark on that drill, mm-hmm. so he modified it a little bit and called it the Nutcracker drill.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then Eric Heitman got really hurt. Patrick Willis got hurt. There were at least a half a dozen guys that immediately got hurt in it, and it was seen as a really antiquated thing that was probably really not very smart to do.
That was a brutal drill. Like, that was one you looked at and go, I can't believe this is happening, like 2006 or whatever, 2009 or whatever, whenever that was. Like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And this is from me, who likes old school football, who likes old school practice. They don't do like the big 9-on-7 drills anymore. They don't do the big individual slam into each other drills. They just don't. That's why we like the 1-on-1 pass rushing drill so much, because it does get a little bit like that. It's not nearly as intense, but it does get very competitive and can get very physical. But man, the goal line drill, I could go back to the goal line drills were unbelievable. And they were doing this like every day in camp. They don't do that stuff anymore. Good. They shouldn't. But any approximation of having that amount of aggressiveness, I keep saying that word, but football is a game of aggression, I think is good for a team if you can avoid the very serious injuries. And sometimes they can't. But again, you go through these injuries, and what's the one that's going to last into the season? It's Ricky Pearsall, which is an injury during a game, and George Kittle, which was an injury during a game, and Mikael Williams. Well, was that during? Yeah, that was an injury during a game. Like, the games are physical. Like, you have to get ready for them, and then sometimes you're going to get hurt in them. But that's the football. That's the game. So, oh, well, that's my take on it. I'm sure I'll be assailed on this and every other format possible.
I agree with you. But one thing I have a hard time reconciling in my head is that, you know, there isn't tackling in these practices. There isn't goal line. There isn't this. There isn't that. They're taking a jog through practice every third day, and then they get a day off every fifth day. And yet it seems like the injuries are higher than they were back in the 80s and 90s when I was a kid and I was following the Washington team at Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I mean, I just don't, it's hard to reconcile all the precautions that are thrown into the game now with the, you know, half the team seems injured all the time. I just don't get that.
Some of it's like the baseball thing is like the more focus they put on protecting pitchers' arms, the more injuries there are to pitchers' arms. I think that some of this is like there's just more attention to it. And some things that guys would play through until they really get hurt, they're not allowing them to play through. And they still get hurt, but it's just kind of like the attention to it, the observation of it, the recording of it is much more detailed now. Doesn't prevent the serious injury, maybe, or doesn't largely prevent it, but I just think we're just so much more attuned to each little thing. And so our teams, and so our players, obviously, and so our agents, and so our families. and it just becomes like, even the more you talk about something, it doesn't go away, right? It just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and you still end up with serious injuries. Those still happen. It's the NFL. So, you know, I don't want to sound too much like the old guys have been through so many training camps, but man, those old guys, they would just go through practice. They just thought, we're going through practice. I'm not missing a practice. That's not what we do in football. That so isn't so much there anymore. Probably healthier that it isn't. You're not trying to hide injuries. But it does lead to a lot more discussion of it. And so it goes. We're discussing it right here.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been having a bit of an ear issue. I need to take a couple of days off, maybe work on a side field and not do a podcast every day because it's starting to take its toll.
I can tell.
My agent's a little bit worried.
Yeah, I can tell. The work product's gone a little downhill. I'll just put it that way. We got a couple of rookies ready to go here. So we'll just
Bring them in. I've seen the young guys. I feel okay.
All right, everybody. That is the show for today. I don't know. Maybe Barros will throw up another solo pod. A little Barros solo pod yesterday. I do not plan on going back down there. Maybe over the weekend, maybe not.
I don't want you to pull anything on the drive down there, Tim.
It's a long drive.
You just take all the time you need.
Freaking long time. It's a long drive. My focus will still be obviously 100% on all things, as you know. But maybe I'll be back on Saturday. Maybe not. We'll see. I just kind of like, I do miss Shanahan's view of this. Like, that is, you know, understandable. It's obviously much more important that he's coaching this team, and she isn't yet all the way. But we don't get that perspective from Shanahan, and we're taking guesses on stuff that he would talk about, you know, Nick Martin, at what position, like he would actually have quite a bit to say on that, I think. Or, you know, what are you doing at receiver? If Christian Kirk, you can throw questions at him and he's the one empowered to answer them. And no one else there other than John Lynch, and who does not meet with us regularly, is going to answer that. Chris Forster can't answer that. Raheem Morris, to this point, is not going to answer anything like that. Like, he's been very chatty. I approve, like, nice personality. Has he answered anything specifically whatsoever so far in his time up there at the podium?
I don't think so. My issue with him and Forster is that they both speak at a really rapid pace. They are hard transcribers. Shanahan's a little bit more languid in how he speaks. And
oh, wait a minute. Shanahan's a pretty fast talker, too. He is
Those two guys, though, I mean, Morris is like a million.
Morris, you transcribe as these big, giant blocks of things. So, okay, we're complaining media stuff. I'm sure people really love to hear that. But and also, because AC/DC, no lunch at the practice today.
That was just bull crap right there.
Yeah, that one was a shot to the heart right there. Thank you, AC/DC. Really appreciate that. All right, everybody. That is the show for today. Barros might get back to you with a solo at some point, or I will be back later in the week. We shall see. Maybe there'll be more news, more injuries, less injuries. Who knows what's going to happen in Fortnite's land. All right, everybody. See you.